So just to give you a little look into what this morning's going to be like, it's going to be a little different. Chick and I are going to kind of share duties this morning, so we're both going to give about a little 15-minute sermonette, so to say, with a couple of songs in between as well. But so today, as we saw earlier, we watched a video commemorating celebrating Memorial Day, or remembering Memorial Day, I should say. And it said often that freedom isn't free, right? And that's kind of what I titled my part of this, is freedom isn't free. So it's kind of the theme of the morning being freedom, with, you know, Memorial Day being tomorrow. But gonna look at freedom two different ways today, and what freedom looks like off of how we celebrate it with Memorial Day, and then Chick's gonna talk about, because of that freedom, what we get to do in worshiping Christ, and how God is the only one worthy of that worship. But before I have a video, but before I show the video, I just wanna set the scene of this word freedom. Okay, so I looked up the word freedom, and the first thing it said is the act of being free. Thanks, dictionary.com. Now I had to go look up what free means, right? So that's what I did. It, like, free was in blue, so you can just click on free, and it would give you right to the definition of free. But most of the time, when we hear the word free, our mind goes straight to something I get for no cost, right? Something that is given without any cost to me, and it costs anything. It's just, it's free. You just get to take it, okay? But that's not the notion of the free that we're going to be talking about today. The freedom that we're going to be talking about today isn't something given at no cost. It's actually the exact opposite. The way we're going to be talking about freedom is how we are free from the bondage of sin because of what Christ Jesus did for us on the cross. And that's how we're going to be talking about freedom and being free, and what that looks like in our lives, and how we can live according to that. So freedom is not free. So Walter, if you could cue up that video. This is a skit, because it's exactly what Christ did with the work on the cross. That was what he set to accomplish, to break the chains that hold us, the chains of slavery and the bondage of sin that separate us from our Father, from our Creator. It's the whole reason for Christ's existence. It was the main reason, was to come down for that. So that's why, as we talk for the next couple minutes about this notion of freedom, I want to challenge us to look at being free in a totally different way. Because freedom will always be preceded by sacrifice. There is no freedom without sacrifice. Christ came down from heaven, the Son of God, because the old law of the Old Testament, people didn't get it. They didn't understand what the law was truly there to do. It was like it was supposed to be a mirror reflecting themselves back at themselves, so that they understood that they needed God, that they needed a Savior. But the law turned into a whole ton of do's and don'ts, that if you do, you'll eventually be righteous enough to get into heaven. But that's not what the law was intended for. So we needed a Savior, so here comes Christ on the scene. God sent his very own Son down to earth. Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 1 says this: "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." if we go back for a minute to the end of chapter 4 of Galatians, I actually taught on this probably maybe a year and a half ago, we did a series through Galatians, and it talked about how we are children of the free woman, not of the slave woman. And it went back and it talked about Abraham and Hagar and Abraham and Sarah, and how Sarah was promised a baby, but was so old in age, she never thought it was really going to come, right? So she told Abraham, go and, you know, have a baby with Hagar, the bondslave woman. So has a baby with Hagar, out on the scene comes Ishmael, right? But the Lord was faithful to his promise to Sarah, and Sarah ended up having a baby with Abraham, and on the scene comes Isaac, right? So there's Ishmael and there's Isaac. One is the son of the slave woman, one is the son of the free woman. And Paul is making a comparison to where we need to be sons of the free woman, because through that line, through Sarah's line with Isaac, and through that bloodline eventually comes Jesus, the ultimate Savior, who would die for our eternal freedom. That's the first way we're going to look at freedom this morning, how Christ sacrificed himself for our eternal freedom, meaning that he created a bridge that we can believe and profess his name and believe that he is Lord of our life, so that we then can have right standing or be righteous in the eyes of our Creator, of our Father. But it is only through Jesus that that is made possible. So it was only through Christ's sacrifice on the cross that we could have freedom from eternal damnation and instead have eternal glory with our Creator and our Father in heaven for all eternity. But that only happened because God knew we needed a Savior, and he sent his Son to do that. So we are encouraged to be children of the free woman. And because of that freedom that we gain eternally, Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation on you from your sin, because your sin has been forgiven, past, present, future, for eternal glory, when we accept Christ's work on the cross in our hearts and declare him Lord of our life. But there's a second way that we're going to talk about freedom this morning, and it's freedom from sin on a daily perspective, meaning the battle between our flesh and our spirit day in and day out. They're always at war with each other, because the flesh is naturally sinful, and the spirit that lives inside of us, if we are Christ followers, always are at war with each other in our lives, day in and day out. There's a passage in Luke 9:23. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he declares, if any of you want to be my disciple, you must first deny yourself, take up your cross, and then follow me. Right there, those three things. You must deny yourself, deny the flesh, take up your cross, which taking up the cross is a symbol of what? Sacrifice. Because Christ took up his cross to eventually die for us. So take up your cross. So daily, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And to bring that together with Romans 12:1, it says that we are to be living sacrifices to God. And that is our holy, true act of worship. A living sacrifice. That's the same thing as denying ourselves daily, denying the flesh, killing the flesh, sacrificing the flesh so that the Spirit can win, so that the Spirit can guide our path. That is the freedom that we can have from sin daily in our lives, with that battle between the flesh and the spirit to overcome the sinful nature. So as we look at freedom more so this morning, it's such a key thing to remember that freedom, it's not this free thing that's just given. It has a cost to it. It cost Christ his life to give us eternal glory, eternal freedom. And it costs us daily denying ourselves and taking up our cross and choosing to say, I will follow you today, God, not my own way. And that's a tough thing to do because naturally we're selfish, right? We want to do what we want to do. I want to live for Andrew. I want to do what's best for Andrew. Every day, every hour, I want to do anything that I can to make Andrew feel good, to make Andrew happy, to make Andrew's way win over anything else, right? I argue with my son all the time. I ask him to do something, but why? Because I said I wanted you to do it. But why? Because I said, but why? Just do it. Just do it. Right? And then he looks at me like, it's like fear in his eyes sometimes. And I'm like, oh man, that's crazy. Right? But instead, I can learn how to softly talk to my son and say, listen, this is why Daddy wants you to do this, because I know what's best for you in this moment, okay? I'm telling you not to run into the street because you may get hurt, you know? When you argue with me, it doesn't make me happy. So I have to apologize to my son when I get mad at him sometimes, or if I talk sternly, too sternly to him, or angrily at him. But it's the same thing that God does for us. He knows what's best for us. And that's why he says, daily, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me, because following my way and my path is what will lead to freedom from sin day in and day out. Not that you will become perfect or that you will become sinless, but will be able to be made more like Christ more and more and more and more. And we'll be able to see that in our lives. So I challenge us today to be more thoughtful on what freedom really is and what this notion of being free really is in this country. Because the soldiers that came before us and they died for our physical freedom of being able to be in this building this morning without having to worry about the threat of government coming in and arresting us, because we're a body of believers worshiping God. And many, 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 many other freedoms that soldiers before us have died for, have sacrificed for. So there's physical freedom, and then there's the eternal freedom that Christ died for, and then there's the daily freedom that we deny ourselves and sacrifice ourselves daily for, to live for Christ and be more like him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much, Lord, for who you are, for what you do for us, and for everything that you give us day in and day out, and that you died for our eternal freedom so that we can live in glory with our Father one day again. And I pray that you help us be able to, day in and day out, let the Spirit win the battle over the flesh in our lives, and that we deny ourselves and that we follow you all the time. We thank you and we love you. Amen.
I too am very grateful to the men and women who gave their lives for what we experience here in America. And I don't ever want to take that for granted, and yet at times I do. And I'm sure you do too. But as we think about the cross and what Christ has accomplished for us in the midst of being an American, I think the tough questions today are, how do I live? How do I respond with what we see is going on today? Because as an American, I'm very concerned, and I'm sure you are, where as a country, we used to be, and on our coins, in God we trust. That's not there anymore, is it? We're making laws that are contrary to God's laws. And yet we still sing, God bless America. And I feel like saying, are you kidding me? How do I respond? I believe God tells me in His Word, I want to be the best citizen I can possibly be in America. But yet, the Bible tells me, this isn't my citizenship. And as Andrew reminded us, and Peter reminds us, my citizenship is in heaven. So how do we respond? And I want to encourage us today, in the midst as we celebrate our freedom, to truly understand what Christ has accomplished for us, and that we can take great hope and not fear when we see our country, in my opinion, falling apart when it comes to godly things. We don't have to fear. We stand strong. We sang about it today. Let us humble ourselves before God and pray and cry out for Him. God's will be done. I want to read a passage to you that I hope is an encouragement to us today, but I want to set it up just a little bit. Andrew touched on a lot. I'm going to fill in some of the blanks as well. But if we believe the Bible is true, and I do, and I know most of you do, God created this earth, this universe, perfect. And Satan came and caused a wounded blow on God's ultimate creation, mankind. And you know the story. Adam and Eve fell. And since that day, heaven and hell have been raging. And we're seeing it today, even in our society and in our world. Wars and rumors of wars. People hating each other. Never God's intention. And all through the beginning of that great war, God constantly is telling us, I will win. And as Andrew shared at the cross, God accomplished that victory forever. But we're still here in the midst of a war that's raging. I want to read kind of in a dramatic way, so encourage me. Just listen carefully. We're not going to have it on the screen. At the cross, Christ conquered our freedom from sin. It's the ultimate freedom. I no longer am ever separated from God because I'm in Christ. Hallelujah for that. And Christ is working His work in the midst of a world who's rejecting Him. And you and I play a significant role in that. I shared that last week. God is at work in your life and my life that every step I take, I can believe God wants me to be the light to a dark world. And our King has conquered my soul, redeemed. But I want to read chapter 5 of Revelations. It's a scene in heaven where in chapter 4, John's taken to heaven and he sees the throne of God the Father. It's magnificent. He's blown away. And he comes to chapter 5. The scene changes. And we're going to see a scene that tells us, and I like one of the teachers that I follow said it this way. There's no one worthy of opening the scroll. And he called the scroll the deed of the universe. And when the scrolls open up and when you read the whole book of Revelation, it's the final thing. It's coming. I believe personally, Christ hasn't opened the scroll yet. But it's close. And he will accomplish all the intended at the very beginning when he said, Satan will bite my heel, but I will crush his head. And this is what he says, so that in Memorial Day, you talk about freedom and understanding what has been accomplished by Christ. We can rejoice in this. So here the scene changed, and it's John seeing this. Then I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne, the Father God, a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside. No one. Now, God and the Father knew there was one, and we're going to be told about it. I wept, John is weeping, because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, listen to the descriptions here. The Lion of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and the seven seals. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. God is moving in the earth. He's accomplishing his purposes. Do not fear. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. What a picture this is. Jesus comes to his Father and is worthy to take this scroll out of his hand. Magnificent scene. The Father knows that it's going to be accomplished. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God, you and I, from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. This is how it's going to end, gang. In the midst of horrific things going on, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will triumph magnificently. What's our response to that? What was their response? They fell down and worshiped. I want to tell you today, the greatest privilege we have from the cross and for what Jesus was accomplished is the ability to again worship in spirit and in truth, because we've been cleansed, given the Holy Spirit. Your greatest calling and my greatest calling is to worship God. How do we do that? It's not singing, although singing can be a form of worship. Worship is the idea, and it was even in the passage, of serving God. Old Testament said, don't serve other gods, serve me. You and I today stand here able to worship God. And we do that day in and day out. Confession is worship, because I'm acknowledging I'm a sinner every day. Obedience is worship. Praise that's true and understanding is worship. So that we can today recognize that we have an opportunity to worship a God who is going to come and make everything right. He has the deed of the universe, and it's coming. Do not fear. Join in the battle with him. You and I, just by worshiping God, letting God live and dwell in us, being filled with the Spirit, rejoicing over the goodness of God, and then the hardship, thanking him that he's at work, doing something far greater than I could ever understand. He's working hardship for good because he loves me. Oh, that I would respond in worship to him. Let's come and sing and worship him.